Michael, another water cooler question was published on November the 21st. The question presented was, is a more aggressive strategy to counter ISIS needed? You stated that following the recent Paris attacks, it is clear that more reaction is required in the fight against ISIS. You also mentioned that if France wishes, it could begin the process of invoking Article 5 of the NATO Charter, which could bring much-needed coordination in combating ISIS. In addition, you then went on to state that the longer ISIS is allowed to expand and operate its propaganda machine, the harder its toxic effects will be to reverse. After Paris, NATO has plenty of grounds for acting. After the attack happened in Paris, what actions do you think should be taken next by NATO?
Ideally, with NATO forces, it would greatly contribute to the fight against ISIS just because the military alliance is able to, all the member states of NATO are able to pool their resources together so that the burden can be equally divided and shared between the member states. So that would basically lessen the burden on some of the Western allies that have been fighting ISIS, for example, the U.S. Like, they've been responsible for, I believe it was 78% of the airstrikes that are going on at this moment. So they have been dominant and they've been taking charge and leading the operations there. But with NATO troops and NATO support, there would be way more troops available as well as equipment. For example, I believe that NATO currently has 3 million troops at its disposal and it has something like 25,000 aircraft. So basically, because it has largely been an aerial bombing campaign, that could also greatly contribute. Now, after the Paris attacks, there were talks of whether France would, in fact, attempt to invoke Article 5, such as what happened in the U.S. after 9/11 happened. But NATO already has experience with similar operations, such as what happened in Libya. So basically, if NATO were to join the fight, then they would be able to contribute their experience as well as get support from the Joint Task Force in Italy. I believe it was Napoli, where the Joint Task Force command office is. Well, one of them. And they were responsible for the aerial bombing campaigns in Libya, which were fairly significant, getting rid of Gaddafi in Libya. But not only do they have first-hand experience with those kinds of operations, but they do already have those regional connections with the regional powers around the Middle East, such as Jordan or the UAE. So NATO resources could go towards better utilizing their connections and better utilizing the states that are around Syria and getting them more involved and more integrated into the operations of the West and NATO if it were to take action. Now, the problem with NATO taking action is that a lot of the member states are, for example, the U.S., they are one of the most important members of NATO. And a lot of the more important members of NATO are a bit reluctant at this point to send ground troops and get more heavily involved. This is partly due to the fact that the Syrian situation is complex. There are so many different sides, so many different rebel groups, ISIS, the Kurdish forces, the government. And they also have learned a lesson that if they're going to go into a country with troops and become more heavily involved, if they don't have the support of the local populace for what they're doing, then they're going to, unless they decide to go for a more permanent route of action and go for a more permanent, occupation of Syria, unless they were to do that, then they're going to need the support of the Syrian people and the local populace as well. And with so many different divisions and different factions fighting against each other, even the local populace is fairly divided. And so by taking more action in terms of ground troops, there is the potential and the worry that they're going to face opposition from local populaces and different factions within Syria already. So that's part of why there hasn't been greater action taken by NATO. So what NATO could still do is they could offer, I guess, some of the resources such as, that they have, such as the joint task commands that they have in various locations, and the different, they could utilize the different relations and connections that they already have with states within the Middle Eastern region in order to more effectively get them involved in fighting ISIS as well. But at this point, in terms of taking more heavy military action, there might be opposition within NATO between some of the more important NATO members.
Michael, moving forward, what are some additional contributions that you look forward to making as time progresses in the new year?
Once I get to meet some of the incoming interns, I would like to discuss with them potential ideas. Like, I know that during the past few months, I've gotten to work with Michael O'Shell and some of the other interns as well in coming up with article series such as the one that we did with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the free trade agreement between all the Pacific Rim countries. And just, I guess, I'd like to get to know them and then maybe perhaps discuss similar interests or similar goals that we have in terms of the work that we want to get done, and perhaps collaborate and come up with new interesting ideas and new article series that we could come up with.
So everyone stay tuned. Michael Kang will have a series of articles that will be published in 2016, the new year. Michael, I have to say it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for your time today.
Magdalena, you've been awesome today. I just thank you for having me today.
Always a pleasure.